Шма Исраэль.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
Al Yomad Yisroel, Omerim Shema Yisroel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you The Eternal Light. This program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. American Judaism is grouped under three main religious movements: Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is a dramatic representation of Isaac Meir Wise, founder of Reform Judaism in America. Featured in the title role is Carl Swenson.
The year is 1899. Tub Moses Ezekiel, the internationally celebrated sculptor, has come to a Cincinnati suburb to carve a likeness of the stormy petrel of American Judaism. It is spring, and a bird is singing. But for Isaac Meir Wise, it is winter, the 80th year of his turbulent life.
This shouldn't take much longer, Rabbi Wise. You're not tired, are you?
Don't be so all-fired solicitous, young man. I'm not used to it.
So I gathered. A bit more to the left, please.
Mm-hmm.
Now hold it, please.
Young man, you're a nuisance.
Am I? Would you mind wearing your spectacles?
I certainly would. Besides, I lost them.
No, they're in the same place, Rabbi Wise. On your forehead.
Well, that's where they belong. You sculpt me just as I am, young man. Don't try to make me venerable. Nothing venerable about me.
You're rather pleased with yourself, aren't you?
If you can reach 80 and make as much trouble as I did, you'd be pleased yourself.
I dare say. Tell me if the pole tires you. Are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Just thinking. You go right ahead. Fiddle your play. Being old, like a state of suspended convalescence, just sitting. Satisfaction in small things, little birds singing, and the sun on your cheek, feel of your own pulse. It's good. Just sitting and being pleased with the smell of April, not worrying about December. That is good. And thinking. Little town in Bohemia. Just a long time ago, 1845. 1845 in the Bohemian town of Raden, the Burgermeister saying.
Sit down, Rabbi.
Thank you, Herr Burgermeister. I'll stand.
As you prefer. Your name is Isaac Meir Wise, isn't it?
Yes, Herr Burgermeister.
I understand that last week one Joseph Dorfman and one Abigail Steinschneider came to you.
They did?
You married them?
I did.
Let me refresh your memory, Rabbi. No rabbi in Bohemia may perform marriages without our permission.
My apologies, Herr Burgermeister.
Sir, I object to your tone.
That makes us equal, Your Excellency. I object to your law.
Nevertheless, you'll obey the law.
Some laws are a crime, Your Excellency. Their execution is a felony.
Careful, Rabbi. I didn't make the law, but I carry it out. Impress that little fact on your mind. The Jewish population is going to remain stationary, do you hear? No one marries until there's a vacancy. And a vacancy occurs when someone dies and I certify that a vacancy exists.
Is that all, Herr Burgermeister?
Yes. That's all for now. We've got our eye on you, Rabbi. For a lot of things. No more marriage services, my friend. That's a warning.
Place the ring on her forefinger. No. The right hand. Yes. I'll say after me. Behold, thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
Thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel.
Don't be alarmed. Apparently, we are to have uninvited guests. There is a door in the back.
Are we married, Rabbi?
Yes, the ceremony is over. Don't hurry as you leave. Don't be afraid. They are the criminals, not we. Now go, and God bless you. Come in, Herr Burgermeister.
Where are they? Rabbi, I said, where are they?
You're too late, Herr Burgermeister.
That's a pity.
Yes, a pity that it's true, and very true that it's a pity.
Well, tell me their names.
No, Your Excellency.
You refuse?
I do.
I'm not going to arrest you. Oh, no, Rabbi. Not for this. When I get you, it's going to be for something good.
I appreciate the compliment.
Not at all, Rabbi. Not at all. Wait a minute. I've forgotten something. Yes. Tomorrow is the Emperor Ferdinand's birthday. You will preach the customary sermon of congratulation.
Yes, of course, Your Excellency. Why not come yourself?
A very good idea, Rabbi.
Well, then I shall take special pains with the sermon.
No doubt, Rabbi. No doubt.
My text is Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty every man to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim for you a liberty, saith the Lord, unto the sword, unto the pestilence, and unto the famine. And I will make you a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Members of the congregation, the gown is getting threadbare. The gilding wears off from the wooden idols. The priest deserts the altar. Add shame to blasphemy. Add folly to falsehood. Contradict humanity and praise the Emperor Ferdinand on his birthday. Europe is an aching sore, a bleeding wound, a blasting stigma. The nations are a flock of sheep, a herd of cattle belonging to the tyrant. Let us pray for our noble and virtuous Emperor Ferdinand. Put a man in a chair, set a cap on his head, place a scepter in his hand, and worship him. Slaughter one another at his command.
Eloquent sermon, Rabbi.
Glad you like it, Your Excellency. I'm not quite finished.
No. I think that will do. Don't you?
Perhaps you are right.
Let's not keep the governor waiting.
The governor?
Yes, of course, Rabbi. He's most anxious to speak with you.
Oh, I see, Herr Burgermeister. By all means, we mustn't keep the governor waiting.
Just what I think. All right, Rabbi. Let's go.
You admit these charges?
I do, Governor.
Also, that you have performed marriages against our expressed injunction?
I have.
And that you have been heard to say that republicanism is preferable to monarchy?
I did.
Why?
I happen to believe it.
Is that in your religion?
That's the way I interpret my religion.
Oh, so you're also an interpreter, eh? I'm accustomed to having my questions answered.
Why not come to the point, Governor?
My dear Rabbi, I generally conduct my interviews in my own fashion. So you don't like monarchies, eh?
Men who take care of themselves are free. When they let others take care of them and make their laws, they're slaves.
Why not save that for your pulpit, my dear man?
Because I have got more than a pulpit conscience.
My dear man, I suggest a change of atmosphere for you. The climate of Bohemia may become rather, shall we say, suffocating.
Oh. If Your Excellency has no objection, my family and I will migrate to America.
Yes, do that, my dear Rabbi. Do it quickly. Yes, in your case, the quicker the better.
Timeless pattern, pilgrimage to freedom. The ocean, luminous with the wet footprints of exiles who had gone before. Wind steering westward to the American earth, where no man gnaws the dead bones of past centuries. The place for new beginnings, where men can write their names upon the stars and not upon tombstones. A place to learn new words and a new language. And to stand in a free pulpit and open an American Constitution and see in every line the law of Moses, the code of Israel. Oh, so many years ago, my first American pulpit, the call to the Albany congregation.
Rabbi Weiss, before we decide to engage you, we'd like you to make something clear.
I want him to make a lot of things clear.
I'll come to it, Schmidt.
If you don't, I will.
Don't you trust me, Schmidt?
Go ahead. Don't talk so much.
Now, as I was saying, Rabbi Wise, we want you to clear up something.
Oh, what is it?
We hear you believe in some kind of reform.
That's what we heard.
I do.
Is that so? What kind of reform, Rabbi?
Well, I'll try to state it simply. Only that portion of Judaism which will and must become the common good of all men is religion to me.
Is that so? Go on, we're listening.
You want to see?
No, just tell us what you believe.
All right, Mr. Schmidt. I believe that Judaism does not insist on dogmas.
Yes? What makes a religious Jew?
His deed, not his creed.
Mr. Schmidt, what do you think?
I'm still listening.
That is not only my doctrine, Mr. Schmidt. You'll find it in the Talmud.
I am still listening.
See, there is a section in the Talmud where God is imagined to exclaim, I would rather they had forgotten me and had observed my law.
Schmidt, what can we lose? He quotes Talmud.
That's a fact. Well, Rabbi Wise, you've got a congregation. Rabbi Wise, this is too much.
Schmidt, take it easy.
I won't take it easy.
Schmidt, calm down. Let me do the talking.
Won't you be seated, Jim? Well, now what is the trouble? But sit down. Sit down first.
Rabbi Wise, I want to know if this is true.
So do I.
Is what true?
My wife tells me that you are preparing my daughter, a girl, for confirmation.
Yes, I am, Mr. Schmidt. She's a very bright girl, and she's going to be confirmed on Pentecost.
In our synagogue?
Yes. You see anything wrong?
Anything wrong? Why, it's not done. It's never been done. Bar mitzvahs are for boys, not for girls.
It's absolutely unheard of.
Is it?
Absolutely. Rabbi Wise, you're not going to disgrace the synagogue with these crazy innovations.
Tell me, when Moses brought the women of Israel to Mount Sinai, were you disgraced?
You can't justify this thing.
I think America justifies it. Women are not second-class citizens. Go back and read your Bible. Chokmat noshim bonta beta. It is the wisdom of the woman that builds the home.
Schmidt, what do you say?
I don't know.
I believe in a living Judaism. Legalism isn't religion. Mysticism isn't religion.
No?
No, religion, Judaism, for me, it's the fear of the Lord and the love of man. I've tried to introduce reform in other places. I've been mocked, scorned, and reviled. But I have faith in America. Someday, the mockers and the scorners and revilers will admit they are wrong. They will accept the confirmation of girls.
This is a small thing, perhaps, but they'll come to it.
Well, all right. It can't hurt.
Good, good. Let us enter the palace of the Lord and not waste our time scratching our names on the bricks outside.
Schmidt, what do you think?
I don't know. Life used to be peaceful before he came.
True.
Rabbi Wise, you ought to go out and found a college of rabbis.
Would it surprise you, Mr. Schmidt, if I say that I have been thinking of nothing else?
Rabbi Wise, nothing you say surprises me.
Perhaps the desire to reform the world is a sickness. It's hard to say. Some men do no more than they must. Traditions can be accepted, but they also must be made. That was a hard lesson to learn, and a harder lesson to teach. And then the time came to teach it elsewhere. A call from congregation denied to Shorin in Cincinnati. A call from the American West, the place of new beginnings.
Rabbi Wise, that's a fine little magazine you published.
Thank you, Blackman.
You can do a powerful lot of good with it. Don't spoil it.
Mr. Blackman, if you want to tell me something, why not tell me?
All right. This editorial, did you write it?
You know I did.
This country has disavowed every connection with any church. Nothing is more disgusting than the combination of religion and politics.
Come to the point, Mr. Blackman. I wrote it. What's objectionable about it?
Why'd you write it?
You know why. It's an attack against the Know-Nothing Party.
That's what I thought. Rabbi, take some advice. Leave the Know-Nothing Party strictly alone.
I can't, Mr. Blackmore.
Why can't you?
Because they're attacking Catholics and Negroes.
You're a Jew. It's no skin off your back.
Mr. Blackmore, I'm an American.
Rabbi, you're being mighty tactless.
I have got a good theological word for tact.
You're making a mistake, Rabbi. Keep out of this. It won't do your people any good.
Mr. Blackman, for 18 centuries, Israel was at fault for too great love of God. And perhaps the enemies of Israel were at fault for too little love of their neighbor. But this is America. The foundations are different here. They must be defended.
Not your job to defend them.
What kind of an American do you think I am? You see a Chinese wall around the Constitution. When the Constitution is attacked, I am going to retaliate.
What are you going to do?
I'm calling a special meeting of the congregation. I'm asking every Christian and Jew in Cincinnati to come. And you might also, Mr. Blackman. It might do you some good. The old sickness. Bigotry and sectarianism. And in America, it hurts so much in other places. In America, so much more. For this is the beacon light of nations. And yet, every generation must fight its own evil and build against it. And every man must build in his own way.
Oh, Rabbi, can I drive you somewhere?
Thank you. Thank you, Father Riley. I'm going to the station.
Well, get in. It's only a bit out of my way.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that was a good talk the other day, Rabbi Wise.
Thank you, Father Riley.
Rabbi, let's make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Well, you convert Jews to Judaism. I'll see if I can convert Christians to Christianity.
Well, I'm going to keep my part of the bargain. That's why I'm going to the station. Now, Father Riley, maybe I'm crazy, but there's room for a Hebrew college in this city. You can't build synagogues without rabbis. I think it's time to start training rabbis.
Well, good luck to you. You can tell them Father Riley's on your side.
If you gentlemen have no objection, I'll turn the meeting over to Rabbi Wise.
The floor is yours, Rabbi.
Thank you. Well, you gentlemen look rather pained.
We're wondering how much you expect from us.
Do you think that I like doing this?
Well, from what we've heard, you do it mighty well, whether you like it or not.
Well, I hate it. I live on a railroad. I go from city to city. I beg. I come here, why? Do I want anything of you? Nothing. Why must I be your servant, your slave, your beggar, your scapegoat? That's all I am. I'm a beast of burden to myself. I'm switched by the storms on the mountains. And I'm getting old and weary and almost tired of life. Yet I must come here and speak. A man can't rebel against his conscience any more than he can rebel against God. You and I cannot separate ourselves from our people. We cannot be faithless to our religion. I am here to plead for a holy cause. I am asking you to help me build a college for the training of rabbis. I think a portion of the history of America depends on your answer.
It isn't much, Rabbi Wise, but it's all we can afford.
Thank you, Jonas. That's enough for 6 classrooms.
Will you accept this, Rabbi Wise?
With all my heart. You've just given us half of a library.
I'd like to enroll as a rabbinical student.
Glad to have you.
I'm glad to come.
Nervous, Rabbi?
What for? The first commencement of the Hebrew Union College? I've never been happier in my life. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let no good man despair of human nature and human destiny, for the Lord is at your right hand and you cannot fail. His promises are your banner of life. The time must come when all the fortresses and the castles and the bastions will lie in ruins, and a newer generation will say, our forefathers needed those damnable structures, but we do not. The time is fast approaching when men will recognize in man his fellow creature, the image of his God, the object of his love, the brother of his heart. The knowledge of God will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea, and God will be one, and his name will be one among the nations and all the tongues. God bless this country. Let it be a beacon light of nations. Let all free men raise their temples to the Most High and praise his glorious name forever and ever.
Rabbi, you can rest now.
What's that?
I said, you can rest. Remember me, I'm the sculptor.
Oh.
Have you been thinking?
Yes. Remembering.
Why don't you come in now, Rabbi Wise? Come in and lie down.
No, you go in, young man. I'll sit here. Now, when the man is 80, sitting is good enough. Time enough to sleep.
Well, don't stay too long.
As long as I'm allowed, young man.
I'll bring you a blanket.
No, young man, don't bother. I'm warm enough. It's spring. There's a good smell from the ground. The birds are back. And someone's singing. I'm warm enough.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Barnett R. Brickner, Rabbi of Euclid Avenue Temple, Cleveland, Ohio, speaking from Cleveland. Dr. Brickner.
There is an old Jewish folk saying that God provides the cure before he brings on the malady. This saying comes to mind as one thinks of the destruction of the historic centers of Jewish learning overseas. How bereft American Jewry, which today contains more than half the Jewish population in the world, would be if it had not been for the vision that prompted Isaac Meir Weiss to establish in Cincinnati, 70 years ago, the Hebrew Union College. It was the first of a number of great institutions of Jewish learning which have been established in this blessed country. These institutions are beginning to fill the void left by the destruction of the wellsprings of Jewish inspiration lying in ruins in Europe. In these 70 years, the Hebrew Union College, which Isaac Meir Weiss founded, has sent forth over 500 rabbis to minister to Jewish communities, not only in these United States, but all over the world. In the light of Isaac Meir Weiss's ideal of a rabbi, these disciples of his have not only been rabbis and teachers of their own faith, but they have also served as ambassadors of goodwill, building bridges of understanding between peoples of all faiths. They have been champions of social justice and civic righteousness. They've been forces for good in their respective communities. When the call came to bring religious ministrations to men and women in the armed services, a surprisingly large number of those who were eligible offered themselves and became Jewish chaplains to serve with distinction among our armed forces all over the world. Isaac Meir Weiss had the deep conviction that American democracy and Judaism had a natural affinity for each other and would form a great synthesis. The decades that have passed confirm his prophetic intuition. American democracy not only drew freely and frankly on Jewish principles in the composition of its fundamental charters, but also contributed mightily to the growth and progress of Judaism, which finds itself in perfect harmony with it. We are certain that this spiritual reciprocity will endure for all time.
Thank you, Dr. Breckner. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. Carl Swenson was heard as Isaac M. Wise. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For free copies of the script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.